Dave. Can you rage? How do you feel? Cooper closed his eyes.
I'm really angry,
he muttered to himself.
I'm really angry. I'm really angry. I'm really...
Is it working? Julian asked Dave. I don't know. Dave was interrupted by a roar like that of a dragon who had just stepped into an enormous bear trap. The first two guards to step out of their cell had their hair blown back with the force of the roar. They cowered back into their cage. I think it worked, said Dave.
Get them, you cowards,
shouted Captain Righteous, pushing past his guards and drawing his sword. Cooper ran past Julian and Dave, bounding toward the steps leading up to the thick wooden door which blocked their escape. Dave and Julian hurried to follow, but stopped at the bottom of the stairs.
We'll have to stall them, said Dave, holding up his mace.
With what? Asked Julian. Captain Righteous's men organized themselves into a battle formation. Two rows of three men, shields held tightly together and swords drawn. They marched forward.
With anything that comes to mind, said Dave. If you got some magic to use, now would be a good time.
Julian waved his hands in the air.
Horse! He shouted.
What?
Asked Dave. His answer came as a long, white face staring back at him. It whinnied.
Stay! Said Julian.
Above them, Cooper was slamming fist after fist into the door, but making little perceivable progress. The soldiers stopped, looking confused by the sudden appearance of a horse's hindquarters in their path. The horse shit on the floor in front of them, and then kicked back a leg, leaving a solid dent in the armor of one guard, and knocking him into the man behind him.
Enough of this!
Shouted Captain Righteous, stepping over his fallen men. He brought his sword down and cut the horse's other hind leg down to the bone. It collapsed in whinnying agony.
Yeah!
Julian and Dave shouted in unison. They turned their eyes away from the flailing horse. Captain Righteous ended the beast's misery with a swift slice down the neck. Blood poured out and pooled all over the floor. The horse stopped its crying and kicking almost immediately. As suddenly as it had come into being, the horse, the blood, all of it, vanished into a small puff of white hair. The captain took a step towards Dave and Julian, who were backing away from him.
You know, I didn't want to do that. I'm actually quite fond of horse.
He was interrupted by the sound of Cooper smashing a fist into the wooden door. The smashing sound was accompanied by a sharp crack. Dave wondered if that was from the door or the bones in Cooper's arm. Neither looked to be fazed from his vantage point. Julian summoned another horse right in front of where the first one had vanished.
Oh, come on, man, said Dave. That's seriously not cool. You're supposed to ride those, not use them as meat shields.
Captain Righteous and one of his men had to jump into cells on either side of the hallway to avoid getting slammed with wild hooves. The captain thrust his sword between the bars of the cell and into the horse's abdomen. The horse screamed and bucked loud and hard enough to throw off the other guard's aim. He had been trying to stab the horse from the other side, but he didn't have as good of an angle on it, and missed entirely. Julian and Dave caught up to Cooper, who was still wailing away at the door in bloody-fisted fury. A strictly visual observation of the door would have revealed none of the progress that he was making, but with every pound of Cooper's fist, there came the creaking and moaning sounds of wood, iron, and stone rubbing against each other. Something was giving way. Dave hoped that Julian's doomed horse would hold out longer than this doomed door. Dave turned around just in time to see Captain Righteous stab the horse again. It was a deep thrust, and one that Dave was sure the horse would never recover from, even if the fighting stopped now. The captain pulled out his sword, and a torrent of blood gushed out after it. The horse didn't have a whinny left in it. Left to its own devices, it would have been dead 6 seconds later, but it was the captain's last remaining man, the one with the colorful teeth, who finally connected with the beast and brought it down. The horse disappeared. He and his captain stepped out of their cells.
Coop! Shouted Dave. They're coming!
Should I summon one more horse?
Julian asked.
No!
Said Dave. Cooper braced his body by taking hold of the arched stone roof above his head and gave the door a good solid kick with his heel. There was a clank and a thud on the other side of the door, made all the more audible by the fact that the door was now slightly ajar.
Did it work?
Asked Julian. still not taking his eyes off the two men who were stepping carefully over horse shit and urine, which had not, unfortunately, disappeared with the horses.
Did he really break that beam?
I don't think so, said Dave, pushing the door all the way open. Fuck me!
He took a moment to admire Cooper's handiwork.
It looks like he tore the beam supports right out of the wall!
Cooper let out another roar. The sound of barbaric victory reverberated throughout the entire manor. Captain Righteous and his men halted their advance in amazement at such a roar, but quickly resumed once Cooper had finished. The only other response Dave heard was the yelp of a small dog and a muffled screech from upstairs. Dave, Julian, and Cooper headed in that direction, not because they were looking for anyone else to fight, but because upstairs was clearly the only way out of the dungeon level. Halfway up the stairs, Dave heard the sound of a cabinet door slamming shut somewhere up ahead of them.
We'd best be on our guard.
Cooper led the way through the door at the top of the stairs, followed by Julian, and Dave closed the door behind him. It had a small lock that wouldn't keep their pursuers occupied for long. They hurried out the door and down the hall, and found where it opened up to the living room on one side and the kitchen on the other. Cooper ran through the living room toward the front entrance of the manor. Halfway through, he slipped, flew backward through the air, and came down with a nasty crack of the skull. Cooper rolled over onto his belly. He was lying in a yellowish stream which ran across the length of the living room floor, beginning as a trickle through the closed, trembling doors of a cabinet.
"Are you okay?" asked Dave.
"Yeah," said Cooper. "Just my head. Nothing to worry about."
"What is that?" asked Julian, crouching down to help Cooper to his feet.
Cooper touched his tongue to the puddle on the floor.
Pretty sure that's piss. Maybe we should...
He was interrupted by the sound of a booted foot smashing through a door.
Shit, said Dave. They're coming. Let's go.
Neither Cooper nor Julian hesitated to run after Dave through the front door. The sky was black and starry. There were no guards posted outside, but they didn't fancy their chances of outrunning the two that were chasing them, not with Dave's short legs and heavy armor in the party.
Do you have any horses left?
Cooper asked Julian.
I've got two, Julian answered. That is, if I want to give up my magic missiles.
Fuck your magic missiles,
said Cooper.
We need to get out of here.
Fine, said Julian.
He pulled out a pinch of horsehair from his belt.
Horse, he shouted, and blew the hair from his palm. It materialized at once into a small horse.
Okay,
said Cooper.
You two get on that one. And I'll get on the next one.
Julian put his foot in the stirrup and hopped up quickly into the saddle.
I can't get up there, said Dave.
For fuck's sake,
said Cooper. He bent down and cupped his hands together. Dave stepped into Cooper's hands, and Cooper hoisted him up onto the horse, who gave a small groan.
This is never going to work, said Dave in a panic.
I'm going to fall off.
Just hold on to me, said Julian. Hold on tight.
Dave didn't need to be asked twice. Julian mimicked the horse's groan. The sound of boots stomping on wood directed their attention through the open front door of the manor. The captain and his man were coming up the stairs.
There they are!
The captain's voice bellowed from the hallway past the living room. The two men started to run.
Hurry the fuck up!
Said Cooper impatiently.
I can't reach my pouches! Said Julian. Dave, loosen up a bit, man!
Cooper righted himself and his axe. The captain and his man were moving too fast. Even if Julian was able to conjure up this horse right now, he still wouldn't have time to mount it before they got one attack in. If they killed the horse, a fight to the death would be inevitable. Dave loosened his grip.
Come on, Julian, he muttered.
Captain Righteous charged at full speed through the living room, eyes locked on Cooper. So focused was his attention on Cooper that he completely failed to notice the growing yellowish puddle on the floor. His feet slipped out from under him, and he might have done a full backflip if his subordinate hadn't been right behind him to absorb most of his inertia. The two of them spent a moment regaining their bearings and flailing around in a puddle of pee. Julian found the pinch of horsehair he'd been searching for. Dave felt himself starting to slip off the back of the horse and hugged Julian tightly, squeezing the breath out of him. The horsehair blew out of Julian's hand as he croaked the word,
"Horse!"
It was enough. A second horse appeared, and Cooper mounted it with ease.
Said Julian. Go horses!
The horses did as they were bid. Dave squeezed Julian even tighter. They were only able to get the horses up to a slight trot without Dave seriously being at risk of falling off. For now, that was enough. They just wanted to put as much distance between themselves and their pursuers as possible. Chapter 16. Tim passed around what little food he had stolen from Pahelin's manor, putting a portion aside for Chaz for when he woke up. Greeley and Shorty passed on their portions, as they were content with leopard meat. Tim approached Catherine, who was standing over Chaz.
He doesn't look so good.
It's that stupid costume, said Catherine. He's actually pretty hot in real life. Tim sighed.
I was talking about his health. If we don't get him some help, I don't know if he's going to make it. That spear wound looks pretty rough. The skin is getting dark around the edges of it.
Catherine bit her lip. Can you think of anything we can do about it? Tim shook his head.
Not until we find Dave. He can probably heal him. For now, it's probably best to just let him sleep. You should sleep too. I'll keep watch.
He called out to Shorty and Greeley, who were arguing about where the best meat was found on a leopard.
You guys get some sleep too. We've got a big day tomorrow.
Shorty and Greeley wasted no time taking Tim up on his offer. Tim paced around with an arrow knocked in his bow, thinking about how much easier it was to keep watch when it was just a game. You just declare what watch you're going to take, and you're told whether or not anything happens during that time. 2 or 3 hours of game time pass by in a second, but this was real time. Mind-numbingly, exhaustingly, life-sappingly real time. He sat down against a tree. He woke up an indeterminable amount of time later to the sound of a loud screech from above. If he hadn't known any better, he would have sworn the screech sounded like,
"Hey!"
He jumped to his feet, tried to shake the sleep out of his head, and looked up just in time to see a giant black mass of feathers swooping down toward him. Instinctively, he fired an arrow at it. The black feathered mass fell out of the air with a cry of pain, cut short by hitting the ground.
"Son of a bitch!"
it screamed, looking at the arrow sticking out of its wing. There was no mistaking it this time. There was a giant black raven standing in front of Tim, glaring, and had just sworn at him.
"Oh, shit,"
Tim offered apologetically, remembering to speak in a British accent.
"Shit yourself,"
the bird screamed back.
"This hatch, you know." "Look, I'm sorry, okay," said Tim testily, "but you really shouldn't just sneak up on people like that." "Sneak?"
said the bird incredulously.
"Why do you think I shouted, hey, before I came down here?"
"I must have dozed off," said Tim. "I thought you were..."
"Who gives a fuck what you thought?"
asked the bird.
"Are you Tim?"
"Yeah," said Tim.
"And I guess you're Ravenous." "Ravenous,"
the bird corrected.
"That's what I said." "Now you said Ravenous."
"What did you say?"
"Ravenous, as in Raven plus us."
"It's kind of a silly name."
"Sillier than Tim?"
Ravenous let out a caw that sounded like a mocking laugh.
"How did your parents know you were gay right out of the womb?" "Hey, fuck you, bird," said Tim. "There's nothing wrong with my name."
Ravenous let out an unintelligible screech at Tim, and Tim responded with his middle finger.
"Dude, what's with the noise?"
said Chaz. He opened his eyes and looked over at the fire.
"Fuck, we're still here?"
He looked down at his wound.
"Jesus fuck, what's happening to my skin?"
The dark patch around the wound had grown. Catherine walked bleary-eyed over to Tim.
"What's going on?"
She yawned, rubbed her eyes, and looked down.
"Oh my God, what happened to you?"
she asked Ravenous.
"Timberly here shot me!" "It's Timothy," said Tim. "It's fuckhead,"
argued Ravenous.
"You shot Jonathan's pet?"
Catherine asked her brother.
"Why the hell did you do that?"
"My master's name is Julian, and I'm not his fucking pet,"
demanded Ravenous.
"I'm his familiar."
"You're getting quite a mouth on you," said Catherine. "You've been hanging around Cooper too long."
She turned to Tim.
"Why did you shoot him?"
"It was an accident,"
said Tim.
"Yeah,"
said Ravenous.
"His arrow just sort of fell out of his hand."
"He came out of nowhere," Tim defended himself. "I thought he was attacking me."
"Would somebody mind taking this arrow out of my wing?"
asked Ravenous.
"Oh, right," said Catherine. "I'm sorry, I'll get it."
"I'd rather he do it,"
said Ravenous.
"What difference does it make?"
asked Tim.
"I'm sure she's going to be more gentle than I am. Look at my giant hands and stubby fingers." Yeah, but if it hurts coming out, I'm going to bite the shit out of you. Fine, you little cocksucker, come here.
Tim walked over to Ravenous, got down on one knee, and tried to figure out the best way to pull the arrow out while causing the least amount of pain. The head of the arrow was barbed, so it wouldn't do to pull it all the way out the way it went in. The fletching was bound to the shaft pretty tightly and would be hard to remove and probably uncomfortable going through the wound. Then an idea occurred to him.
Okay, he said. Hold really still.
Ravenous held still, but Tim could still feel him quivering. As carefully and deliberately as he could, Tim broke the tail off the arrow and pulled the shaft through.
There you go,
Ravenous exhaled.
That wasn't so bad.
Then he quickly bit Tim's arm. It drew a small bead of blood.
Ow!
Tim screamed and pulled back his arm.
What was that for, you ungrateful little shit? Because fuck you, that's why!
Ravenous let out a wild caw and tried to fly to the safety of a tree branch, but only got in two flaps off the ground before the pain in his wing reminded him that he wasn't going to be doing any flying anytime soon. He smacked head first into the trunk of the tree and fell to the ground. Catherine suppressed a giggle. Tim didn't. Ravenous looked as pissed off as any bird that isn't an eagle is able to look.
Where have you been? She asked. You've been gone for hours.
Ravenous lowered his head, kicked an acorn with one of his talons.
I met a nice young female raven, and, well, she was impressed that I could speak elven.
You mean to say you were fucking this whole time?
Ravenous lifted his wings in a shrug, flinching slightly at the pain in his wounded wing.
I'll just say that my cloaca is at least as sore as my wing.
Nice, said Tim.
Ugh,
said Catherine.
Well, the good news is that I'm not hungry anymore.
She stomped back towards the others.
Fucking men, all alike.
Then she stopped in sudden recollection and turned around.
You were supposed to be scouting the area to warn us of any danger.
Ravenous stood up tall and proud.
I have nothing to report. The area is secure.
We were attacked by a fucking troll while you were away.
Oh,
said Ravenous, lowering his head.
I'm sorry.
He picked his head back up.
Well, at least no one was hurt.
My boyfriend was hurt, Catherine shouted back at him. He was hurt badly.
Wait a second, said Ravenous. Are you talking about that guy with the silk pirate shirt?
Yes.
That guy's your boyfriend.
We've been on a couple dates.
I wouldn't have thought he swung that way,
Ravenous mused.
So, he still has his junk.
What?
His, I don't know what they're called on humans. His baby makers?
Balls, suggested Tim.
If you like.
I'm really not comfortable discussing this with you, Catherine said.
I'm sorry, said Ravenous. Just curious.
Then you should ask him.
Oh,
said Ravenous, with a hint of embarrassment in his voice.
So you two haven't actually,
He bobbed his head forward twice. Catherine gaped down at the bird.
I'm seriously not talking about this. In fact, I really would rather not talk to you at all for a while. The next time you talk to me, I want it to be after you apologize to Chaz for the hole in his chest that he got because you were too busy fucking some floozy crow.
Raven!
Catherine made like she was going to kick Ravenous, and he closed his eyes and lifted his good wing in defense. Catherine stomped off toward Chaz.
Sheesh! Said Raven. I mean, I get where she's coming from, but, well, a guy like you could probably understand.
Tim looked down at Ravenous curiously.
Before tonight, I've never had a lot of luck with the ladies, if you catch my drift.
And what makes you think that I...
Tim sighed.
Never mind. I catch your drift. I probably would have done the same thing.
Your sister's kind of a bitch.
Yeah.
Nice tits, though, if you don't mind me saying so.
Actually, I'd rather you not.
The two of them stood in awkward silence for a moment until Tim spoke up.
So, he said, Julian, Cooper, and Dave are all locked in that prison?
Yeah, said Ravenous.
They went to rescue you,
he added.
I know,
Tim snapped.
They're probably due to be hanged at dawn.
I know,
Tim was nearly shouting. Neither of them said anything for a few moments, and then Tim went to join the others. Ravenous hopped along behind him.
Hey, listen, guys, said Tim.
Catherine turned around, and Chaz lifted his head slightly, wincing in pain. Shorty and Greeley were sleeping again, Tim gave them each a series of small kicks until they were awake.
Since we're all awake,
asshole,
said Shorty, rubbing his eyes,
we should probably be heading back to Algor to rescue the guys.
What? Now? Asked Catherine.
Chaz lowered his head.
Yeah,
said Tim, knowing the response wouldn't be a popular one.
Look at him, Catherine said, pointing to Chaz. He's in no condition to walk. He's barely alive as it is.
Then we'll have to either split up or leave him here, said Tim. Dave is a cleric. He's this guy's best chance of recovery.
No, said Catherine. I think the best thing we can do is stay together and try to figure out a way to get back home. Once we get back to the chicken hut, we can beat the shit out of that fat fucker until he brings back the other guys.
Tim cocked an eyebrow in consideration.
That sounds good, he said. But they don't have that kind of time. They're going to be hanged in the morning.
For what?
Cooper chopped off some dude's head.
What the fuck?
It was before we got here.
Catherine looked confused.
You mean back at the chicken hut?
Yeah.
Catherine continued to look confused.
Cooper murdered a guy at the chicken hut?
No, said Tim, exasperated. We were playing the game before shit got...
He waved his hands around, gesturing at everything around him.
Real.
Okay,
said Catherine, uncertainty heavy in her voice.
It's role-playing, Tim said. We were sitting around at the table in the chicken hut, pretending to be these characters, and Mordred was describing the scene. He played the character of everyone that wasn't us.
What a bunch of fucking losers.
We were denied entrance to a city, and Cooper took the reason as being racist, so we...
Catherine perked up.
Is Cooper black now? I mean, his character?
No, said Tim as patiently as he could. He's a half-orc.
Catherine pursed her lips and thought.
Which half?
What?
I mean, is he like a mermaid?
Fucking hell, said Tim.
He closed his eyes and tried to get back under control.
He's the offspring of a human parent and an orc parent, just like you're a half-elf.
Who would want to fuck an orc?
It's a good bet his human mother was raped by an orc.
Oh, said Catherine.
She glanced down at Chaz.
There's a lot of rape in this game.
Anyway, said Tim, what with it being a game and all, relatively free of any real-life consequences, and with Cooper being kind of an idiot, he decided that the best way to combat racism was cold-blooded murder. It seemed funny at the time.
You guys are sick.
I guess Mortar didn't find it too funny, Tim continued. He and Cooper rubbed each other the wrong way from the get-go. Anyway, after that, we ended up here, with the entire city guard chasing us.
Look, Tim, said Catherine, I'm really sorry about your friends, but we have to get back home. We can't go breaking into prisons and fighting guys with swords. We could really get hurt, dead even.
They're in there because they were trying to rescue me, said Tim. I'm not going to let them die.
He knew Catherine wasn't too bothered about letting his friends hang, so he tried to think of an argument she could relate to.
Besides, we don't know how to get back home, or if it's even possible. If we're going to be stuck here, we would be better off with those guys. It's dangerous around here. You know that much already. We need them. Cooper is as strong as all of us put together. Dave can heal us, and believe me, we'll need some healing. Julian is, well, he's still finding himself, but he's got a lot of potential, and a talking bird.
So what do you propose we do then? Asked Catherine. Just waltz in there and beat down anyone that gets in our way?
That's normally our default plan, said Tim. It's a bit of a walk to get there, though. Maybe we'll think of something better on the way.
What about Chaz?
Leave Butterball with him. He'll be okay.
His name is Butterbean, Catherine snarled at him. And he goes where I go.
Tim thought.
What about Shorty and Greeley?
You want to leave Chaz in the protection of a decaying old man and a gremlin?
Goblin.
Whatever.
Finding Dave might be Chaz's only hope for survival.
You keep saying that, said Catherine. I don't understand. Did Dave go to med school here or something?
He's a cleric.
Yeah, I've heard. What the fuck is a cleric?
It's sort of like a priest.
In my experience, when a person is dying and they call for a priest, it usually means the fucker's on the way out.
A cleric can heal wounds with a prayer and a touch.
Catherine narrowed her eyes.
As far as the game is concerned, it's just another sort of magic, just like how you summoned a wolf out of thin air.
Catherine's expression changed.
He'd finally given her something she could understand.
Okay, fine. Do you think they'll go for it?
I'm pretty sure they don't want to go back into town and risk winding up back in prison again. I got the feeling that Shorty was going to bolt off into the woods by himself as soon as we started packing up to leave. I can't blame him for that.
If you can talk them into staying, I'll go with you.
Deal.
Tim walked over to where Shorty and Greeley had fallen asleep again and nudged them with his foot until they woke up.
What?
Snapped Shorty.
I had more peace in prison.
Guys, said Tim, I need to ask a favor of you.
Shorty sat up with a glum and serious look on his wide face. He blinked his eyes a couple of times and looked up at Tim.
Listen, he said. I was going to wait until morning to tell you this. We're not going with you. I know you helped us escape, and I'm indebted to you for that, but not so much as to risk being put right back in there.
I know, said Tim.
Oh,
said Shorty, caught off guard.
Then what is it?
My sister and I have to go back. I need you two to stay here and look after Chaz while we're gone.
Shorty looked over at Greeley, who didn't seem to be paying any attention. He looked back at Tim.
And what if you don't come back?
Then do your best to take care of him until he gets better.
What if he dies?
Fuck, said Tim. I don't know. Bury him, I guess.
Shorty pursed his lips and looked to the side.
Can we, eat him?
Fucking hell, said Tim, and looked back at Catherine.
Her agreement to go with him was balancing atop a very narrow fence. His mind scrambled to find ways to defuse the shitstorm that was about to erupt, but no shitstorm erupted.
As long as you promise to wait until he actually dies, she said. I don't want you killing him beforehand.
Of course not, said Shorty indignantly. What kind of savages do you take us for?
Jesus, Cat, said Tim.
What? She asked innocently. I told him not to kill him, but if he's dead, who gives a shit whether his remains are eaten by worms or goblins?
Tim shrugged.
Fair enough, I guess.
He looked up at the sky, or at least the little patches of it that were visible through the treetops.
We'd better get moving. We don't know how long we've got before morning.
Tim and Catherine gathered their bags. They didn't bother to wake Chaz. He needed his rest. In the off chance they were successful and really lucky, they might be able to return before he woke up anyway. Butterbean walked alongside Catherine, and Ravenous, unable to fly, perched on Tim's shoulder. They walked to the edge of the woods and out into the grass until the road was visible.
We'll travel faster on the road, said Tim.
But won't that make us more exposed?
Exposed to who?
I don't know, said Catherine. Monsters, bandits, the city guards?
We're at more risk in the forest for monsters. I don't think bandits would be operating this close to the town. And as for the city guards, well, if we're going to end up fighting them anyway, it's probably best if we take down a couple out here, so there won't be as many there.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to kill a person.
I don't know that either, admitted Tim. We'll just have to do our best and hope it doesn't come to that.
They hadn't been walking up the road 10 minutes when Butterbean started to growl. He was staring straight up the road into the darkness.
What's wrong?
Catherine asked.
Stop, said Tim. Shut that dog up.
Catherine knelt down and put her hand on Butterbean's head. She stroked his fur, and he stopped growling.
What is it?
Shh.
Tim listened.
Horses coming this way.
How many are there?
Catherine whispered.
I'm not sure, said Tim.
More than one. Less than five. Probably a night patrol or a search party or something.
Search party? Asked Catherine.
What would they be searching for?
Me.
Catherine's voice shook.
What do we do?
Don't worry, said Tim. We took out a troll. We can handle a couple of first-level guards on horseback. That's not our problem.
What is our problem?
We want to have as much surprise on our side as possible when we get to the town,
he said.
The last thing we need is for these guys to ride back and warn the others that we're coming.
He looked to one side of the road and then to the other. They were well out of any cover the forest could provide, but there were still a few scattered trees growing close to the road.
Come on,
said Tim, grabbing her arm and pulling her off the right side of the road.
What are we doing?
She asked.
Tell me you have a plan. I have a plan.
He dragged her by the hand past one tree and behind another, a little farther away.
Is it a good plan?
She asked.
It's the only plan I've got, he said. Hindsight will judge its merits. Stay here. Try to keep out of view.
Where are you going?
Not far, said Tim. Just back to that tree we passed on the way here. You'll be able to see me.
Shouldn't we be fighting with you?
No, said Tim abruptly. Not at first, anyway.
I'm going to sneak attack one of their horses. That seems like a pretty shitty thing to do. If we take out their horses, they won't be able to ride back and warn the others. All right, fine, said Catherine, but her tone suggested that she was not at all fine with it. When I fire that first shot, I'll have given my position away. Feel free to jump in any time after that.
Okay.
Remember, said Tim, take out the horses first. You might even get lucky and pin one of the guys under his horse. Catherine didn't respond, but Tim couldn't afford to waste any more time. He placed Ravenous on the ground next to Catherine and crept back towards the other tree. It was about 20 feet away from the road. He was going to have to wait until the horsemen were almost on top of him before he would be able to use his sneak attack bonus. It would be worth it, though. Only 2 horses, by the sound of it. And while they were moving too fast to be searching for something, they didn't seem to be in a terribly urgent rush, either. Tim sat back against his tree and took out his bow. He shoved the points of 2 arrows into the ground so they would be readily available to fire from where he was, and felt behind his back to make sure he knew exactly where to reach for the arrows still left in his quiver. The first shot was going to make all the difference. The horses were getting closer with each passing second. He wiped his palms on his pants and crouched down behind his tree, facing away from the town in order to fire his arrows just after they passed rather than just before. He closed his eyes. He was in the chicken hut, playing a game with his friends. He was just rolling a plastic 20-sided die. That was all. It was just a game. He opened his eyes, gripped his bow, knocked his arrow, and waited.
Chapter 17.
Come on, guys, Dave whimpered. Can't we slow down a bit now? I think we've got enough distance between us and them.
He was hugging Julian more tightly than he needed to, in the hopes that if he squeezed enough air out of the elf, he might be more inclined to take a break.
Stop whining, said Cooper. Just keep your eyes open for that wrecked wagon. When we see that, we can stop riding and look for Tim. It shouldn't be too much further.
But my balls are killing me, Dave groaned.
The magically summoned horse had only come with 1 magically summoned saddle, which Julian was sitting in. Dave was riding bareback behind him, constantly in danger of slipping off the rear of the horse and getting a hoof in the face.
Fuck your balls,
said Cooper.
We'll be there soon.
They rode on in relative silence for a few minutes. Dave tried to concentrate on the rhythm of hooves on the road. So focused was he in his concentration that he was lying face down in the road on top of Julian before he was able to mentally register the fact that their horse had vanished from beneath them. Cooper's horse ran another 30 yards before he managed to turn it around.
What the fuck? What happened to your... What?
Cooper's horse blinked out of existence, and he fell to the ground.
Get off me!
Julian groaned. Dave rolled off Julian and onto his back. Julian sucked in a great lungful of air. Dave was dazed, but otherwise not too badly injured. His armor had protected his arms pretty well, and Julian had done a good job of breaking his fall. He sat up and looked curiously at an arrow lying in the road.
That's odd, he muttered to himself. What's that doing there? Holy shit!
A wolf bolted out of the darkness and tackled Dave. Dave grabbed it by the neck and struggled to hold back the mouthful of snapping teeth, trying desperately to bite into his face.
Fucking hell, Dave,
said Cooper.
Is your fucking underwear made out of bacon?
Help me!
Dave screamed. Cooper raised his great axe into the air, catching a gleam of moonlight on the massive blade.
Cooper! A voice rang out from the side of the road. Stop!
Cooper turned to look at him.
Tim?
He lowered his axe.
Damn it, cat! Call off Buttercup!
What?
Said a woman's voice. A vaguely familiar face peeked out from behind a tree. She saw Cooper and screamed.
Canis Lupus!
She cried, and Cooper suddenly had a wolf gnawing at his ankle.
Ow!
He said, and kicked the wolf in the face. It let out a yelp, landed on its back, righted itself, and growled at him just before it vanished.
Will someone please fucking help me?
Dave shouted. The wolf's teeth were dripping with blood, and Dave's forearms were torn to shit. Julian had only just managed to sit up.
Methylchloroisophiazolinone!
He shouted, pointing a finger at the wolf. A glowing, sparkly arrow shot out of Julian's fingertip and struck the wolf in its upper hind leg. The arrow disappeared into a whiff of smoke and burnt fur. The wolf let out a small yelp and looked angrily at Julian, baring its red fangs and drooling pink-tinted saliva.
Call him off, goddammit! Tim shouted at his sister. That's Cooper and Dave and Julius! Julian! Julian shouted. The wolf poised to lunge at Julian. No, Butterbean, stop! Shouted the female voice. Butterbean did as he was commanded, but continued to growl at Julian. He backed away, keeping the three of them in his field of vision. Come here, boy! The woman shouted. The wolf hesitated, but finally started to step further back. It's okay, the woman said soothingly. They're friends. Dave took a good hard stare at her. She was wearing a leather cloak with an antlered hood. Aside from her long pointed ears and almond-shaped eyes, she could almost pass for...
Catherine?
Said Cooper. When I told you to go fuck an orc, you really went the extra mile.
Is that your wolf?
Demanded Dave. This is Butterbean, said Catherine. There was a cold edge to her voice.
Fucking animals,
Dave grumbled, holding up his bleeding forearms for her to see. What's up with your arm? Dave looked down at his leopard-spotted furry arm and quickly hid both arms behind his back.
Welcome back, boys, said Tim. We were just on our way to find you. You look like shit.
To be fair, said Dave, I've been mauled by wild animals twice in as many days. More than that, actually, if you count being kicked by a magical horse.
Ouch, said Tim.
Cooper snorted, and a glob of green snot shot down onto his chest. Catherine winced in disgust.
Sorry, said Cooper,
wiping the snot off with his finger and trying unsuccessfully to flick it onto the ground.
I've got a charisma deficiency.
No shit.
How did you get here?
Presumably the same way you did, she said. That fat bastard you guys invited into our place of business sent us here.
Mordred,
snarled Cooper. He pulled the head out of his bag. Catherine screamed and clapped her hands to her face. Butterbean lunged forward and bit Cooper squarely between the legs. Cooper dropped the head in his bag, and his body hit the ground soon after.
Cat! Tim yelled. Catherine, please calm down! Call off the wolf! Please! I can explain!
You can explain that? She cried, pointing to the head. You guys are fucking animals! Everything they said about this game is true! Oh my God, what am I doing here? Tears streamed down her face.
Get it off! Get it off!
Cooper screamed.
Come on, Cat! Tim begged her. Just hear me out!
Catherine stopped crying long enough to whistle, and Butterbean came back to her. Cooper was crying now as well.
Fucking dog bit my dick off,
he said, rolling around on the ground in agony. Blood seeped out from below his loincloth.
I'll give you 1 minute, Catherine said to Tim angrily. And if you can't provide me with a good enough explanation as to why you are totally cool with your friends carrying human heads around in their bags, then what?
Asked Tim. Dave guessed it was meant to sound challenging, but it came out sounding hopeless.
What will you do? Leave? If you know how, then by all means, lead the way. We all want to get out of here, Catherine. Just calm down and listen to me.
Catherine sat down and hugged Butterbean. She kissed him on top of his head, extra praise for biting Cooper in the balls.
I'm listening. Remember when I told you about how he got in trouble because Cooper chopped that guy's head off?
Yeah.
Well, that's the head. I could have figured that much out by myself, she said. It doesn't explain why you guys are carrying it around. What is it? A fucking trophy? Don't be silly, said Tim. We're not barbarians.
Cooper groaned.
Okay, well, technically he is, but that's not why he's carrying it.
Catherine's expression did not soften.
It's a conduit, he said. You had better start using words I can understand before I turn your tiny prick into wolf shit. Sometimes Mordred communicates with us through it.
Mordred? You mean the guy back at the chicken hut?
Yes, said Tim. The guy who sent us here.
Catherine wiped away her tears.
Show me, she said. Show you what?
The head. Turn it on or whatever. I want to talk to him.
It's not a fucking walkie-talkie. You can't just turn it on at will.
Then how does it work?
He chooses when he wants to talk to us, Tim explained. I mean, you can try to talk to him, ask him a question or something. But if he doesn't want to talk to you, it's not going to happen.
Catherine looked down at the head. It lay on the ground next to Cooper, facing away from her. As she approached, Cooper crawled backwards away from her on his elbows, looking as though he was making an extra effort not to pass out from the pain.
Dave!
He shouted.
Where the fuck are you?
I'm right here, said Dave. What do you need?
What do I need?
He asked, as if he couldn't believe the question had been asked.
I need my fucking scrotum reattached.
Oh, right, said Dave. He placed his hand on Cooper's forehead. I heal.
That's not where I was bitten,
said Cooper between agonized gasps of breath.
Dude, I'm not touching your balls. The spell will work.
He refocused his mind.
I heal thee.
Catherine laughed and shook her head.
I so don't belong here. I should be down at Bar Bones right now having scummy men buy me mojitos. But no, I'm here in some strange fucking woods with my little brother and his geeky friends wearing antlers on my head, being attacked by giant monsters, and passing around a booze-filled goat stomach with...
She stopped, her eyes and mouth frozen wide open. A faint glow shone from the point where the palm of Dave's hand rested on Cooper's forehead. Cooper's eyes closed, and his breathing became heavy. A small moan escaped his mouth. His shoulder and arm muscles began to twitch. His fists clenched shut, and a spasm of pain rippled through his face. His hands opened suddenly, and his mouth widened into a grin. He began to laugh. It was a shaky but sincere laugh, the kind of laugh your heart makes after you bet money you don't have, bluffing with a pair of fives and win. The skin on his knuckles, split open from pounding on the door of the jail, grew and fused back together. The wave of spasms continued down from his chest to his abdomen, and then below it. Cooper let out a roar that shook the leaves on the trees. Catherine took a cautious step back, and even Butterbean cowered behind her. That was probably for the best, because Cooper evacuated his bowels in a spray that would have reached both of them otherwise. The spell coursed down his legs and sparked out at the tips of his big toenails. The roar ended, and Cooper lay on the ground, panting and cupping his freshly healed balls with his freshly healed hands.
What did you do to him? Catherine asked Dave.
Dave stood up.
I healed him.
He touched each of his index fingers to the opposite forearm and whispered the words again.
I heal thee.
The wolf bites melted away.
Really?
Catherine kicked Cooper, who was still rolling around on the ground with his hands on his crotch.
Hey, Cooper, you okay?
Cooper's eyes were still shut tight, and tears flowed back toward his ears.
Just let me savor the moment a little longer.
You know you shit yourself.
Yeah,
said Cooper, letting out a long exhalation.
I know.
Chaz needs you, like, right now,
Catherine said to Dave. Ravenous also addressed Dave, but Dave only received it as a series of ear-splitting squawks and caws.
Oh, great, said Dave. Look who's back. Julian, can you shut your bird up, please?
He just wants you to heal him, said Catherine. Tim shot him in the wing.
Nice one, Tim, said Dave. Next time, aim for the beak.
He stopped.
Wait a second. You guys can understand him, too?
Sure, said Tim. He's actually pretty cool when you get to know him. He's got quite a mouth on him when he's angry, though.
I'm glad you made a new friend, said Dave. But let's get our priorities in order. We need to band together and stay alive until we can figure out a way to get back home. Agreed?
They all nodded.
I'm limited in my capacity to heal,
Dave continued.
I don't want to sound cold-hearted, but I think we need to put the needs of our human... Well, I guess human isn't exactly the word. Our companions that came from our world, the real world, before the needs of our avian friends.
Scowling, Julian picked up Ravenous and placed him on his shoulder.
Listen, Julian, Dave said, trying to sound sympathetic. I know you care about the bird, but this Chaz guy is one more in the party that could help us survive a fight, and...
Actually, said Tim, Ravenous is a pretty good scout. Also, Chaz is a bard.
A bard?
Said Dave, as if he'd been punched in the gut.
Seriously?
He turned to Julian.
All right, he said. Let me see the bird.
A couple of minutes later, Ravenous was flying around, cawing joyfully and darting through the treetops.
Shit,
said Julian, wincing and wiping bird shit out of the bleeding claw marks in his shoulder.
Next time Ravenous needs healing, remind me to put him on the ground first?
Cooper stood up and picked up the severed head. He looked at Catherine.
We can give this a try after we take care of your, friend.
I'm sorry, said Catherine. Could you please, how do I put this delicately, go away?
She was visibly trying to hold back a gag.
It's just that the sight,
tears welled up in her reddening eyes,
and the smell of you makes me want to vomit.
Yeah, sure,
said Cooper, shoving the head into his bag and skulking away. The group made their way back to camp. A starved old man and a little creature, no bigger than Tim, crouched over the prone figure of a man dressed in colorful silks. The little creature ran a long, thin finger through the man's shiny golden hair.
Ahem, said Tim.
Shit,
snapped the little creature, jerking its hand back.
That was, fast.
How's he doing?
The creature shrugged.
Same as before. You guys find your cleric friend? Is that a goblin?
Asked Dave.
Oh, said Tim. Yeah, Dave Shorty, Shorty Dave. And this is Greeley.
Are you the cleric?
Asked Shorty.
Yeah,
said Dave, stepping into the light of the fire.
Stand back and let me take a look. He's all yours.
Shorty and Greeley went to sit down by a tree on the other side of the fire. Dave knelt down next to the man in the colorful clothes. He was sleeping fitfully and sweating. Dave opened his shirt.
Who are your friends?
Cooper whispered to Tim.
A couple of guys I broke out of prison with.
I can heal the wound,
Dave announced to the group.
Okay, said Catherine, hopefully.
Good.
But,
said Dave,
there appears to be more wrong with him than a simple puncture wound. What did you say did this to him?
A troll, said Tim.
Bullshit,
said Cooper.
There's no way a first-level druid, a second-level halfling rogue, and a fucking bard are gonna take down a troll. What did he do? Lull it to sleep while you were slapping it to death with your dick?
It wasn't a regular troll, said Tim. It was a forest troll or something.
Dave looked up.
A forest troll?
He thought for a moment.
Are those the ones who have the poisonous saliva?
Oh, oh, shouted Catherine excitedly. He mentioned something about saliva before he fell asleep. Something about the troll going down on the spearhead before it stabbed him.
Well, said Dave, that's that then. I think he took some constitution damage. Quite a bit from the looks of it. The good news is that I can patch up the wound. I won't be able to do anything about the constitution damage, though. He's just going to have to rest for a couple of days and let it work its way out of his system.
Dave placed his palm on Chaz's forehead and closed his eyes.
I heal thee.
Chaz's body shuddered briefly, though there seemed to be no pleasure running through it. His head fell to one side and he threw up. None of this interrupted his sleep.
I've done what I can, said Dave.
He lifted Chaz's shirt to show everyone that the wound had healed.
Nice work, said Tim. We might still have a couple of hours before the sun comes up. We should get some rest. I'll stay up and keep watch.
Take a load off, little guy,
said Cooper.
We all got enough rest tonight in the dungeon. We'll keep an eye on things.
Thanks, said Tim.
He walked over to his bag, collapsed to the ground, and fell asleep almost instantly. Catherine walked over to where Cooper was sitting.
Cooper?
Cooper turned around and looked up at her. He had one finger lodged up to the second knuckle in his nose. Seeing Catherine, he quickly removed his finger and sucked it clean. Catherine suppressed another gag, and Cooper ashamedly put both hands behind his back.
Sorry about that,
he said.
It's my charisma score. I just can't help doing things that other people find extremely gross or offensive.
Catherine closed her eyes and steadied her breathing.
Well, she forced a shallow laugh. You always were kind of gross and offensive.
Is there something you wanted?
I want to talk to Mordred.
Cooper looked over at Dave and Julian. Dave shrugged.
Why not?
Cooper pulled the head out of his bag and placed it on the ground facing up at Catherine.
Far away,
said Cooper.
What?
Asked Catherine.
I just talked to it?
Cooper shrugged and nodded.
I found it helped to have it at eye level, said Julian.
He picked up the head and walked over to the tree where he'd been standing near when he had summoned Ravenous. He wedged it into the forked branches.
There you go. Now just pretend it's alive and connected to a body.
Julian stepped back, and Catherine eyed him dubiously. She looked at Cooper and Dave, who were staring back at her expectantly. She turned back and faced the head.
Hello?
The head gave no response.
Hello in there, she shouted. Anybody home?
Still no response. She turned around.
Are you guys fucking with me?
They all shook their heads.
Because if you are, I'll sick my wolf on you.
They all crossed their legs, but maintained that they were not, in fact, fucking with her. Catherine approached the head, moving slowly and cautiously toward it.
Mordred, I want to talk to you. She moved in even closer. I know you're in there. I'm not going away until you talk to me.
She moved closer still, searching for any sign of awareness in its cold, dead eyes. Cooper lowered his head, anticipating what was going to happen next. Catherine whispered,
Mordred?
Greetings, Shazana,
said the head in the tree, eyes wide and grinning broadly. Catherine screamed and jumped back. She took a moment to regain her composure, started to say something, and then stopped.
Who the fuck is Shazana?
Why, you are, of course, said the head. What do you think of your character? Were the antlers too much?
What is going on here? She asked. Why am I...
She waved her arms around, grasping for the right word.
Shazana.
It was a pre-generated character. I always keep a few on hand in case there are any surprises.
Catherine got right in his face and shouted as slowly and clearly as she could, like an idiot trying to communicate with a deaf person.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
I'm sorry, said Mordred. Did you need something explained?
Yes,
shouted Catherine. The head looked patiently at her.
Why did you send us here? What do you want from us?
Me? All I wanted was to play a game.
The face wasn't smiling anymore.
Your brother and his friends are here because they'd rather act like clowns than play the game properly. You are here because you're a big bitch. Your boyfriend is...
He's not my boyfriend.
Whatever, said the head. It's regrettable that he got mixed up in this. He might have actually wanted to play the game rather than just get drunk and clown around.
Wait a second, said Catherine.
She actually started to laugh.
This is just about you being pissed off because some guys made fun of you?
What else would it be about?
I don't know, said Catherine. I thought maybe you needed us to retrieve the magical ring of social adequacy from the haunted island of Skullfuck and bring it back to you or something.
The head in the tree seethed as she spoke, right up until the very end, when it smiled.
Back, it said. Whoever said anything about coming back? Nobody's coming back.
What do you mean? Asked Julian. What about when the game is over?
The head's eyes looked at Julian.
You don't get it, do you? This game doesn't have an ending. It's not like checkers. You're in a different world, and you're going to be in it until you die. So make the best of it.
What happens when you go to sleep or go home or whatever? Julian went on. Surely you aren't going to hang out at the chicken hut running the game until we all die, are you?
Whether I'm here or not, the world you're in will keep going. I just control things when I'm around. You'll really want to be careful when I'm gone, though.
Why's that?
Because when I'm running the show, I like to keep things level appropriate. It makes the game more fun if neither side is guaranteed victory. You're all still very low level. There are creatures in these woods that you are being protected from right now. But when I leave, my protection goes with me.
The light of consciousness went out of the eyes. Catherine confronted Dave, Julian, and Cooper.
What the fuck did you guys say to him?
Cooper scratched his head. Dave bit the corners of his mustache. Julian spoke up.
I think Cooper told him to suck his big black men here.
Catherine looked at Cooper.
What the fuck does that even mean?
Julian started to explain, but Catherine cut him off.
Never mind.